And that is the reason and the essence of salvation. And we pray that you may help us to continue preaching your word through our words and deeds. And we thank you even for gathering us here to come and worship you in splendor of your holiness. So may you now cleanse us. May you now speak to us so that we may know your will and know your mind. And when we hear your word, help us to hurry up and go and obey it. For this is our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have your seats. Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Yeah, even maneuvering, using long cuts. Today I was not shortcuts, long cuts to Jogoo Road and other areas to make sure that you have come to the house of the Lord. May God bless you for that effort. We didn't have visitors, but I can remind you my name is Peter Kariuki, and I'm born again. I love Jesus Christ. He is my personal Savior. And I'm happy to be invited by the districts worshiping in church today to come and be with them. I have never been to church for district services. All the times I go to districts, but this round I was blessed enough to come and fellowship with 7 at 11 and also 18 and 19 in the 11 a.m. service together with other Christians who may have found their way into the sanctuary because of one reason or the other. And we keep on encouraging people to join districts. Those are small groups whereby you can give and also receive from other saints. Even as the word of God says that we should continue gathering together and hearing the word of God together. Yes, the theme of the district focus was sowing generously. But because of that banner, you can see there in that first theme, I didn't want us just to begin a new series without me mentioning about our next quarter series. We have been thinking about or meditating about bearing lasting fruits. And this quarter, every year, we focus on Jesus Christ the Messiah, even as we look forward to Christmas and the new year. So these are the things that we are going to think about. Of course, quite a number of Sundays have been taken by groups and special Sundays, but at least we have a few of them that we can, between now and January 20th, 2019, that we can think about. So don't miss those nice series whenever they come. So they'll be spread out because of group Sundays, like next Sunday is Thanksgiving with a different theme. 11th is PCMF with a different theme. 18th is disability with a different theme. Somewhere around November or December, we shall tackle quite a number of those themes. So today we are looking at the first theme, and we are reading it together with the giving aspect, the sowing generously. But the theme I have is, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? The background to this reading of Matthew chapter 16 is actually the times when there was a lot of influence of Greek culture amongst the people. The town that the Bible has talked about is Caesarea Philippi. And Caesarea Philippi was actually very much influenced by the culture of Greeks. You can even see Caesarea and Philippi, those terms. And the worship of pagan gods were very, very common. You know, the Greeks were philosophers. They could not understand matters of faith. So they were people of reason. And they could make the image they want to have of a god. And therefore, there was a great deal of idolatry during this time that Jesus is speaking to the disciples. The Jews were also a bit confused, because their expectation of the Messiah was somebody who would come as a political leader, to come and probably come with a chama, political party. I don't know whether it is Jubilee, Israel, or what. So that he can come or called Jerusalem to come with a bang and defeat their enemies, especially the Roman Empire and other people that were oppressing them. But Jesus came in again in a way that they could not understand. And that is why John chapter 1 says that he came to his own people, but his people did not recognize him. But to those who believed in him, he gave them power to be called God's children. So both the Jews that Jesus is preaching to and the culture of the day were actually militating against faith, militating against their belief concerning the Messiah. So Jesus is using this background now to test those who are close to him, so that he can see whether they knew who he was. And that is why he started with the questions, asking them, who do people say that I am? And you can see quite a number of answers from that portion of scripture. The response from the disciples was actually very interesting. Because number one, they said, you are John the Baptist. People say, people outside St. Andrews, people say, you are John the Baptist. Quite a good description, because John was the one who was crying in the wilderness, wearing camel's hair and eating locust and asking the people to repent. And of course, after they repented, he was baptizing them in River Jordan. A good description, but they were wrong, because Jesus Christ was not John the Baptist. Other people say that you are Elijah. Of course, Elijah is also very, very famous for calling fire from heaven. You remember his encounter with the people who worship Baal, and the way he prayed and the Lord came and consumed his sacrifice, and the fire came and licked the water. You know the story of how Elijah challenged the worshippers of Baal. So probably that description was also good, but again they failed, because Jesus was not Prophet Elijah. Then others say that you are Jeremiah. Yes, Jeremiah of course was the appointed prophet of God, the weeping prophet, as recorded in the book of Jeremiah, who was persecuted because of his prophecies that did not go down very well with the king and the people, and he was punished. Jeremiah was a very famous prophet. So that was a good attempt, but again they were wrong, because Christ was not Prophet Jeremiah. Other people say that you are one of other prophets. For indeed Jesus did extraordinary things. He did miracles, he healed people. That is why people maybe thought that he was one of the prophets. And we still have in our nation and in the world people who think that Christ is just a prophet, like any other prophet. So after that, Jesus now turns to the disciples, probably people who are born again, full members of a church like this. Yes, they say that, but to you, who do you say? I am you. I have walked with you, I have done miracles, walked on water, healed people, fed 5,000, another 4,000, and I have done quite a number of miracles amongst you. Who do you say I am? And of course, I find this apostle, our disciple, Peter, who was very sharp, shouting, and he says very quickly, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He got it right, because he is commanded by Jesus. Jesus commanded him for this, and he promised to build the church upon that faith. And he actually gives a promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So out of the faith of confession, that Christ is indeed the Christ and he the Son of the living God, he is the Messiah, that is how the church was founded. So the church was not started by Peter in Rome. Because I'm sure you have read some people who believe that the church was started by Peter in Rome. Even I think in Rome there is a big cathedral named after Saint Peter. Actually, we know the church started in Jerusalem in 53 AD. But out of that faith of Peter, Jesus said, you are the rock, and upon you I shall build my church, and gates of hell won't prevail against you. So 2,000 years later, even today, 28th of October 2018, Jesus is still asking us this morning, who do you say I am? Who is Jesus according to you? Because Jesus has so many names. I had a singer who was calling him Fuduambao. Yes, Unifunduambao. Other people call him Isa bin Mariam. Other people call him all manner of names. Other false teachers believe that Jesus is just a Jesus of history, who existed in history and died together with other people and got forgotten. Other people think that Jesus is Jesus of faith, especially our neighbors on the other side who believe in these science things. They believe that Jesus is just an idea. And that is why believing and knowing who the Messiah is very, very crucial. That's why we introduce such a series every year. So that by the time we reach Christmas and we start celebrating and people go on holiday, others go and drink beer and slaughter a lot of animals. I'm sure animals will suffer in December. We need to know the real meaning of Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. He is the Messiah. So he is the Messiah. Do you recognize Jesus as the Messiah, your spiritual leader or deliverer? By spiritual deliverer, referring to Jesus as the Messiah means that he is the anointed one. That is the meaning of the word Messiah. The anointed one, the one who is set apart. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to go and preach the good news to the poor. That was the mission statement of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, that he drew from Isaiah chapter 61. That he had come, being the anointed one, to come and preach the good news, to come and set the captives free, to come and restore sight to the blind and make people who are lame to walk. He is the anointed one. Messiah means the Christ. He is the Christ. He is actually the Savior. And his messianship actually came to fulfill the role of the prophet. Jesus is a prophet in that he preached the word of God. When you read the book of the Gospels, all of them, the three synoptic Gospels and the Gospel according to St. John, you hear the direct speech of Jesus Christ. You are engaging with Christ. Direct speech, not reported the way it is reported in other books in the Bible. Direct speech. Do you listen to Jesus Christ? Are you near God? Are you near Jesus every time? Do you recognize him as the Messiah? He is the prophet. He's also the priest, in that he came to die for the atonement of sins. He came to die for us. That's why during Christmas you remember the wise kings who came and they recognized Jesus with three gifts. One came with gold. They also came with frankincense and myrrh. With the gold, they were recognizing Jesus as the king. With the frankincense, they were recognizing him as the priest. Well, that was the work of the priest, to use the frankincense. You know, in the Orthodox Church and other churches, I think independent also like doing it, throwing some smoke. I went somewhere and they buried me with the smoke. I don't know whether the priest thought I'm not very much born again as a PCA minister. We were actually complaining with the ministers we were with. Hey, ametuzika sana na moshi huyu mchungaji. A lot of frankincense. Jesus came to do that. He came to be our priest. He intercedes for us. That's why a singer would sing, he is in heaven doing what? Interceding for us. With groans that we cannot even understand. When you are not able to pray, when you are in difficulties in your life, in your family, in the nation, in the church, Christ prays for us. He is indeed our priest. That is what he came to fulfill by being our Messiah. He is our king. And God gave Jesus all authority. In Revelation chapter 19, where we have the Feast of the Lamb during the millennium time, there are 1,000 years, where we shall dwell with Christ. When he comes down, you know, he will come and bind the devil, throw him somewhere, bind him in prison for 1,000 years. And that's why the Bible says that even sheep and lion will be together. There will be no sin in that wedding of the Lamb, where we should be candidates, where we should have the ticket. Jesus Christ is portrayed as the one who is given all authority. All authority is given to God, to Jesus Christ. And if you look at him, even every day, a day cannot actually end without you mentioning Jesus. Either you are hitting your foot on the stone, Jesus Christ. You are sneezing. You are singing a song that you are not completing. You cannot spend a day without mentioning Christ. He humbled himself. God lifted him up and he became a king. That is the meaning of Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ. He is the Savior, our prophet, our priest, and our king. And as the Son of God, as Peter puts it, he is actually of the same essence with God. Jesus is God. Some false teachers tell us that Jesus is not God, like the Jehovah's Witness. Jesus is God. He is God. He is of, actually, it's God made manifest in human form. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And if we don't have this understanding of Christ as God, our worship and our ministry as Christians can have some challenges. Because if he is not God, then he is not worthy of our worship. Because he must worship a being that is higher than us. So we must recognize Christ as God, of the same essence with God. You can imagine Peter. I look at Peter, he had not done much theology. Like the one I did in 6 calendar years. He was just a mere fisherman. And he actually puts in what you call Christology, theology about Christ, recognizing him as the Son of God, as God. He had not done a lot of theology and TE and BSF. He was just there convicted by God that Christ was of the same essence with God. He was equal with God. Christ is equal with God. And that is why even in the Great Commission, Jesus said, go and make disciples of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, all in capital letters. Capital letters. Jesus Christ is equal with God. He is the radiance of God's glory. That is what Hebrews chapter 1 will talk about. The radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So if you want to know God, first of all, know Christ. When you know Christ, he is actually the radiance of God's glory. He is actually our Messiah. So even this morning, as we meditate upon Christ and we think about giving and everything, do you know who Christ is? Who is Christ to you? If you recognize him as a Messiah, then I want to recommend these three things as I conclude my sermon. If he is indeed your Christ, is your Messiah, the Son of God, these three things are yours. Number one, you must drop everything and follow him. And this is what the disciples did. They dropped everything in Mark chapter 1 from verse 16, and they became fishers of men. Follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of. Have you dropped everything, members of District 7 and 11? And all of us who are in the sanctuary this morning and those listening, I don't know whether today we are online. We are online. You listening to me wherever you are. Have you dropped everything and following Jesus Christ? I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Are you following Christ? Or do you follow a district? So that after all, you'll be known when time comes for you to be helped, probably during a wedding or when you go to heaven. They will say he was an active member of 7 and 11. Are you following Christ or are you following a crowd? We must drop everything and follow Jesus Christ. Our God is a jealous God. He cannot exchange his glory with any other. We must drop our sins. We must drop our burdens. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Drop everything and follow him, if indeed he is your Messiah. Number two, we must sacrifice for him. And that's why we have a theme today telling us to sow generously. Giving is actually worship. And therefore, we should not actually worry about the many times we are requested to give. As a lot of what we have belongs to God. Psalm 24, we have just read here in our call to worship. The earth and everything in it, the people therein, and all of us, we belong to God. Even that money you have is not yours. That possession is not yours. So even as you have so many different callings to give this quarter, which is a lot actually, after Sunday's Thanksgiving, before Sunday there is something on that. Is it 4 hour? Brass or something, brass concert 4 hour. I think afternoon or 4 also there is a fundraiser. And now utaitishwa, jitayarishe. And you're also thinking about Christmas and the way you're going to save your school fees for January, so that it doesn't turn to be a January. And the way I hear that money is scarce, I don't know where money has gone. Where has money gone? You may be what? That's what I'm hearing Christians saying. Oh, Pastor, you know there is no money. Well, it's because we are saving the corruption holes. If it can lack because of dealing with corruption, then I can say amen to that. If you can no longer do bad businesses, shoddy ones, to me as a pastor, I can say amen, because I stand for anti-corruption. And I'm anti-corruption pastor. You know me. I know, but I say St. Andrew is a corruption-free zone. Yes, and we must stand firm wherever we are. We must sacrifice something for the Lord. If there is something for you to eat, Let their mouth be something for God and other people. So let us give cheerfully, as Paul is reminding the church at Corinth, that you should not grumble and complain as you give to God. Because the Lord is the one who gives you that seed that you have planted. So it's a matter of just planting it, and then you harvest, and then you retain the seed. And that is why God doesn't ask for everything. And the reason why we give is actually because our God is a giving God. He is a God of abundance. He came that he may have life and have it in abundance. He loves us to an extent of giving, sacrificing for us. So as God's children, we recognize Christ as the Messiah and the Son of God. We need to imitate God by giving. So when I give, I feel very good when I'm giving. Of course, I have grown into giving. I was not a very good giver before I was born again. Even after being born again, I had to mature in the area of giving. When you are giving, you are tithe. Because some people consume everything. When you look at your salary and you see the gross salary, give a tithe of it, regardless of the mortgages you have taken. Because even when the government is taking their tax, do they consult you? I would have been consulted by the taxman. I'm going to cut your tax. So why should you even sacrifice the 10% by tithing the net? You should tithe the gross. All of us tithe, including ministers. We tithe. So bring your tithe so that you don't have to have all these fundraisers. We should not be doing many of them. When we tithe properly, when we bring our other gifts of thanksgiving to God, on Sunday we are coming to thank God for many things. We are alive. We are of sound mind. Our children are doing well. The Lord has blessed us despite the hard economic times. What you are going through, there is something you can thank God, because thanksgiving is a virtue. And we thank God at all times. Whether times are good or bad, God is still God. He is God yesterday, today, and forever. Let's sacrifice for him. Let's give our substance for supporting God's work. And we have done it for many years in this church. Since 1970, the days of the moratorium, when we came about with that motto of Jitegemea in PCA, we said you want to depend upon ourselves. You want to be self-propelling, self-governing, self-sustaining. And thus far we have gone. You can see that this sanctuary was built by the Scottish missionaries. What have we done? What have we contributed also? Did you contribute in the building of the hall? In the building of Stan's apartment, where even ministers have an abode? Are you contributing in mission work in Mashuru and other areas? Let us sacrifice ourselves for God. And this church does very well. It's only that we want to keep on reminding you. I have served this church for more than 5 years. I'm a very happy man. My wife was reminding me the other day that I don't have to keep on making some funny arrangements for people to clear. She knows I have suffered in some parishes. But here you're able to give. Some of you are good givers. Others are hanging on the bus. Just hanging, enjoying the others. Just seated there, enjoying nice sermons and nice projections and nice parking. And of course, they are the first ones to talk. The ones who don't give are the first to talk about why are we giving money for walls and many funny things. We need to give to God without complaining, because God gave us his only begotten Son. We must sacrifice our time also for him, our talents, our lives. At Mark chapter 12, verse 43, the Bible says, the poor widow gave all she had for God's work. You remember the story of the poor widow, as people were bringing their offerings and Christ was present. Some of them were coming with big notes. This lady gave everything. Are you sacrificing for God? Sacrificing your life, sacrificing your time, sacrificing your talents, even your treasure, for the sake of supporting God's cause. And then the third thing we need to do, if we recognize Christ as our Messiah, is to go for him. Let us go for the Lord. The Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples of him. We go and preach the word of God. Be an ambassador of Christ. Be the lighthouse wherever you are. Whether in your office, in your business, in your school, in your estate, can you be a lighthouse that people can come to your house when they need spiritual help? Can they come to you? Do you portray Christ everywhere at the parking, when people are cutting the traffic lights there and blocking you all the way? Are you able to withstand that pressure? Do you have Christ in you? Are you standing up for him the way we sing a song? Stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, are you standing for Christ? We need to stand for Christ and defend our faith. There is a clarion call for people to come and do apologetics. We must defend our faith unless we stand up and defend our faith against evil, against cults, against new age movements and traditions of Buddhist Acharya and other things. We must stand up and defend our cause. We need to do apologetics and defend our faith so that we may be portrayed or be people who know what they believe. Do you know what you believe? Can you ask your neighbor whether they know what they believe? What do you believe? Of course, I know you can remember the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father. But is he really your Father Almighty? Do you have other powers that you consult? Is he the creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I don't want to ask how many people are spirit-filled. The other time I asked here, people didn't raise their hands. Maybe because of humility, they don't want to show others that they are filled by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the Holy? The Holy Catholic Church. Catholic means universal. Do you believe in ecumenism and other things? We must know what you believe and why you believe. You must know why. Why did I come to Christ? What is my motive even of joining a district, as I said, and a ministry? And how do you defend this faith against lies and attacks? In your office, are you able to defend Christ through your words and actions? When they come making joke of your faith, questioning about what you believe, the way Peter would say, there are some people who will come here and they will question what you believe in. Actually, that is the basis. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3, around verse 15. Whereby you need to do to defend your faith against lies and against attacks. Doing this clearly shows that you recognize Christ very well. So the message is very clear this morning. If Christ is indeed your Messiah, if he is indeed the Son of God, then drop everything and follow him. Are you ready to do that? Number two, sacrifice for God. Yani, you serve the Lord until you feel, I have really sacrificed for my master. And let us go for him. Because the Great Commission is still vivid. Jesus is still saying, go to your villages, go to all corners, go to your families, go everywhere. That's why we ask people to go to the district. One reason for going to the district was not actually maintaining our systems. It was actually making sure you have a neighbor who is not a Presbyterian joining your district. Some people who don't go to church joining your district there. That's the reason why we came up with the district. So that we can now go and preach to the people in our estates, that they may believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the work, the reason why we are here. And I keep on repeating and I'll keep on asking. We are here for two reasons. One is for preaching the good news and the other one is for sinning. Can we check with your neighbor why they exist? The reason why you never died when you got born again is because God wants you to reach out to the lost. Or Satan wants you to sin. So you are either preaching it or sinning. And I'm sure I can't have such members in St. Andrews who sin with abandon. Our work is to repent our sins and cleanse ourselves and become what the church is talking about now. Being what? Vessels of honor. That is the General Assembly theme. Cleanse yourself. Doesn't matter. Cleanse yourself. Doesn't matter your age, social status. If you believe in Christ and cleanse yourself, the Lord will use you mightily. So that after we do what we are supposed to do, Christ will come back and you reign with him forever and ever. Who do you say? Jesus Christ is. May God help us. If you don't recognize him as Savior and Lord, just stand, I pray with you now as I conclude, because I have finished. You recognize Christ as Savior? Are you born again? Do you recognize him as your protector, or you have other things that protect you? Do you recognize him even now when our children are doing exams that he's going to see them through? Do you recognize now when we have socio-economic hardships? Do you recognize Christ at night, or his only Christ during the day? Do you recognize Christ when you are presented with choices? You either bribe for this tender or you lose it. What will you do? Bribe for this promotion or lose it? Will you choose Christ? I would rather have my Christ. Amen. I would rather have my The things of the world are very temporary. We would rather have the Messiah. Let us stand up for prayer. Just speak to God about that sermon. Thank him for the precious gift of the Messiah.